On that note, Erica and I and Kelly were sitting back at the table this evening, and Erica was sharing, and all of a sudden, I physically felt someone walk behind me, come from this side, run their arm down my arm like this as they were walking past me and that way. I mean, and this breeze went with them, like this wind. And I really thought it was a person. And so I turned and looked, and nobody. And I looked this way, and nobody. And I'm like, Kelly, did you see anybody walk by me? And no, nobody walked by. And I'm telling you, somebody walked by and touched me. And so I immediately, Lord, what are you saying? You know, angels don't just show up for fun. You know, they're not here to entertain us or make us, just to give us this, oh, wow, or to have something to talk about. There's a reason for it. And I didn't hear anything. I asked, you know, what's that about? And I've been asking. And I just felt when Marcy was sharing that event that happened to me is further confirmation that Yahweh really does and is and has been presenting to us this gospel that has power, dunamis power, power from heaven. And this whole passage in 2 Timothy is pretty intense in chapter 3. Basically, the whole context of that chapter is the last days. It starts with that. But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And then it describes what those last days are going to be look like. Men are going to become lovers of themselves. And not in the healthy, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself way. Not in that way, but in a self-centered, self-focused, me, 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 narcissistic way. Men will be lovers of themselves. And not only that, but lovers of money. They will become boastful and arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. In other words, you're not going to be able to make peace with them. There's not going to be any reconciliation. Malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh. They will hold to a form of godliness or religion, although they have denied its power. So they will appear to be religious, but they're going to deny that it has any power. Right? There's no power in it to transform anybody or deliver anybody or heal anybody or cause a stony heart to become soft. There's no power in that religion. And get this. Avoid such men as these. That's not an option. That's a command. Don't be friends with them. Don't hang out with them. Stay away from them. That's pretty intense, right? So, and then it goes on to describe how they're going to move into the church and they're going to look for the weak and the elderly and the whatever, and they're going to make friends with them and they're going to deceive them and take advantage of them and captivate them, weighing them, these women, these weak women who are weighed down with sins, it says, and they'll be led by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, I believe Yahweh is again waking us up to the fact that this isn't all on us. He's sending us supernatural help. We have angels assigned to us here. Every congregation does. We're not special. You know, the body of Christ as a whole is special. There's nothing, we can't look at ourselves and go, oh, we're better than, or we're this, or we're that. No, no. We're actually pretty weak and pretty needy. And I think we kind of are in tune with that, which creates this humility and dependence on the Lord, and He honors that. But it's not because we're super spiritual or we've somehow arrived, or it's just the opposite. I think we're getting in touch with our intense need for Him and getting in touch with the reality of who He really is. You know, you remember a couple years ago, whenever it was, when He rudely awakened us and roared in our faces and said, "You don't know me." Remember that one? It's like, whoa. Wow. That'll get you on your face on the ground pretty quick. And it did. And so He's letting us get to know Him and humbling us. So I believe He also wants us to recognize that He is preparing us for what's coming. And you know, there's been some numbers thrown around and some conversations that have been said and spoken about, you know, maybe, just maybe, we might be looking at 7, 8, 10 years before the Lord's return. You know, just some numbers thrown around. I want to caution everybody about that. You know, we don't know the day or the hour. We can know the season, and I believe we will know the season as we walk into it more. And there's just so much that we don't understand about the book of Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah. And there's so much about politics and the world and what's happening, and this looks like it might be that. And like I've said when I was teaching Revelation, I've said it a number of times, we won't really know probably until that 3.5-year mark. And when that 3.5-year mark happens, we'll know it, because the Antichrist will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And you can put it, write it down. He's got 3.5 years on that throne. And then Yeshua and Yahweh come back. Then we'll know it. Then I'm going to be able to write it down and sign my name to it and tell you, you better get ready. You got 3.5 years, right? So in the meantime, we get ready now, because you can't wait till that 3.5-year mark to get ready, right? You can start, you can, there's definitely things at that 3.5-year mark that I think we'll be doing more intensely, especially evangelism and able to take the scripture and show our loved ones and our friends and neighbors, here's what the Bible says. When this man sits on the throne in Jerusalem, there's 3.5 years left. And we've got it in writing. And that's going to be quite a powerful evangelistic tool. But you got to know your Bible. And you got to know where to find that in Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Revelation. And that's why we're teaching that, for that purpose. But I do want to kind of pull back a little bit, because I've heard some conversations that I'm not quite comfortable with going around about what's going on in the earth and what it looks like, and this, the first seal could be opened. I don't think that first seal has been opened. I don't see, from what I can tell, I don't see that happening yet. I could be wrong. It could be. But I just want us to be so careful because, like I said, with that first seal, we might not know it. That first seal is so, you know, you got a rider on a white horse. He's got a bow but no arrows. You're not going to be able to identify him too well from what it looks like, right? So let's just kind of dial back on the trying to say, you know, and I've jokingly said, half serious, half jokingly said, you know, we might have 7-8 years, you know, and it might be true, but it might be 10. It might be 12. Because remember, Yeshua's not going to return until the bride has made herself ready. That means we have a big part to play in this, whether he comes or not, in 7 years or 8 years or 10 years or 12 years. The bride, he will not return until she's made herself ready. And the bride is in intense preparation right now. I know we are, and I know friends that I have in other congregations are feeling the same thing. This intensity to get ready that wasn't there before. And this idea of holiness and even something as simple but beautiful as using Yahweh's name rather than God. I mean, it's crazy how much that's happening right now. Yeshua rather than Jesus across the United States. It's happening like crazy. Never in my life have I ever seen this movement of his name like's happening right now. I got chills. That's just, that may seem like, oh, no, I think that's a big deal. I believe that's an indicator that the church is starting to get to know him. You know, there's something about a name. And if you can call somebody by their name, that means you know them. If I can call Colleen by her name, that means I know her. And the times when my brain blanks out and I go, Ted, what's your name? You know, that's not because I don't know her. That's because of a brain thing. But we're the church is waking up and for real. And I believe the Holy Spirit is moving to that measure. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to get his bride ready, right? That's the Holy Spirit's main job, is to prepare the bride. And he's doing that, and angels are assisting. And so, you know, I don't always see angels. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel them, like tonight. I didn't see that angel. I looked. I didn't see it. Toby, did you see it? You weren't sitting there, were you? Yeah. So I didn't see it, but I felt it. I mean, I physically, like a real hand went down my arm like that. So that tells me, pay attention. Yahweh wants to say something. He wants to show us something. And this whole idea that you could have a form of godliness and deny its power. Don't ever live that way. It's so repulsive that Timothy is told here, avoid such men that live that way. Don't have any fellowship with them. So we don't want to be one of those. I'm reading this book that's extremely fascinating. It's a new book on quantum physics. And the author is an interesting author. He's talking about God, this divine matrix is what he calls him. But he also interviews Buddhists and Dalai Lamas and all those things. He's getting information from all these different sources. I'm not finished with books, so I'm not real sure yet where he's going to land. But here's the part that's really gotten my attention. You know how a couple of weeks ago the Lord had me bring that word about the fullness of the gospel. Anybody remember what that was? The fullness of the gospel. Somebody, please have one student here that remembers. Okay. I better go back and teach it again then. The fullness of the gospel being that we in America as a church tend to point backwards at the cross. You know, that the cross is our motivation. The cross is the central focal point, what's behind us. But that is not true to New Testament scripture. Even Yeshua on the cross, Yeshua himself said that he was able to endure the suffering, the shame of the cross because of what was before him, not what was behind him. And all the way through the New Testament, you see that over and over and over, where the apostles are pointing everybody to look ahead, look in the future, look at the reward that is waiting for you. If you will endure, if you will be an overcomer, look up, look ahead at you. And that's what's going to enable you to go through whatever you have to go through from point A to you take your last breath. The very things that are in front of you will be the motivating force, right? So I brought that. Well, I'm reading this book on quantum physics. And the new testing that science has discovered in quantum physics says that the way you go through this life, they can prove it in quantum physics. If you've got an illness in your body and you need to be healed, or you have an issue that you need to overcome, whatever it might be, let's say stronghold or whatever, if you have something, an obstacle right here that's going on in your life, the way that quantum physics works is you fix your eyes in front of you. You don't look at your illness. You don't look at your past. You don't look at, well, I'm not good enough. You don't do any of that. You look ahead and you look at the prize that's set before you. And when you do that, all those protons in your physical body line up and change, and you get a miracle, or you get a healing, or you get freedom from that thing that just claimed your brain. I know. I'm like, wait a minute. I got to read this chapter again. Back up. Start. Yep, that's what he's saying. Just what the Bible says. That's one of the reasons I'm loving this book. He doesn't, two or three times he quotes the Bible without it giving the Bible reference. He just says, Jesus said, da, da, da. But boy, it's just full of principles. The whole faith, that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and that mountain will move. In quantum physics, they watch it happen. Come on, we need the power of the gospel. They watch it happen. Yeah, and they speak to the thing, and they look ahead. I want this thing that's right here to move there, and they look up there. They don't look down here at the thing. They look up there, and this thing needs to be there. And when they do it in quantum physics, that photon moves itself there. So quantum physics is basically proving scripture. And we can choose to believe what the Bible says and begin to practice it. Or not. Now, let me ask you this question. I gave you homework 2 weeks ago. Remember? look up some scriptures where there's a command, and you look around that scripture and see what the reward is, what the thing in the future is. I'm gonna hold you accountable. Raise your hand if you did your homework. You may not have been here. So you found some. Two people in this room. Now, those of you that didn't know about it, you're excused. You're good. But if you knew about it and you didn't do it, what does that say? I didn't give you the homework for my sake. I gave it to you for your sake. I don't get anything out of it. But I knew it would be good for you. Because it's not enough for me to dig in the scriptures and find the truth. That only helps me. And it helps you if you receive it when I give it. If you don't, it doesn't help you. That's not okay. It's not okay. No excuse. Well, I forgot. Sorry. It's not okay. We have to wake up to the hour that we're living in. You can't afford to have a religion without power. And you won't have power if you don't give yourself to His presence and His word. You won't have it. So the homework assignment is back on the table. Go find yourself 5 scriptures in the New Testament where there's a command in it. And you find the context of that passage and find the reward. Find the looking forward into the future that's attached to that command. Because, beloved, this is vital for you to know how to walk in the hour that we're living in. Not what's coming, what we're already living in right now. This whole idea of the quantum physics reality, it's vital that you get it. And that assignment is all about you being able to get from here to there by looking ahead and not looking behind or behind you or your present situation, but recognizing the power that's in the gospel of looking ahead and finding the reward. Because if you are one day in a prison and you don't have your Bible, you better know how to look ahead at the reward that you've already studied and found in that word, so that you've got something to hold on to get you through the situation you're in. And it may not even be in prison. It might be just somebody that you love rejected you or walked away from you or died, or you know what I'm saying? Yes, Toby. Do the Ten Commandments count? Look in the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. Now, Yeshua repeated 9 of the 10 commandments in the New Testament. So you could read them there in the New Testament. You'll live long on the earth. Yeah. That probably was the verse. Yeah. And your daddy can help you if you need some help. Okay. All right, everybody understand the assignment? 5 New Testament scriptures that have a command in them, like do this. And then you read the context and find out what the motivation is that's associated with that command. Because 99% of them have it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Come. You want to come up here? Germified.
I had written down several that night because I was so challenged by the homework assignment, and before we even left, I had already started and written down several, but I wrote them in my book, and I can't remember what they are now. But this one I did remember. It was in the Beatitude, or after the Beatitudes, and it says in chapter 6, verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious. So there's the commandment. Saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you.